Genesis 32. Going to study about Jacob tonight. Just some simple thoughts. Hope they help and encouragement. It's a good study. In Genesis 32, we'll start reading in verse number 24. Familiar story, great story. Genesis 32 and verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and they wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And he passed over Peniel. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that he shrank. Call this study tonight called a life-changing meeting with God. A life-changing meeting with God. Father, thank you for so many facts of people meeting with yourself that you recorded for us to have hope and to believe in you. I pray tonight that by being here tonight, this will be a life-changing meeting, and that we'll have many other life-changing meetings with thyself because of what thus saith your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love this story. I love about every story in the Bible. But looking at this story with Jacob, we see a great confrontation he has with God. And as I thought about this confrontation, this meeting that he had with Lord, because he called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." There's some things that happened in this meeting that God wants to happen with you and I, and they can happen, but to have in this life-changing meeting, we'll see some things that will be consistent and open the door for us to have the same type of thing happen to us. First thing I want you to notice about this meeting, number one, the meeting was private. The meeting was private. And I thought about the small number here tonight because of the weather, and it's almost like a private meeting. And you think about this, because the Bible says here in the context here, in the passage at verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. So in this meeting where his life has changed, he was all by himself, he was alone with God, and the meetings that will transform us will be the meetings that are private, and they're just ourselves and God. Many times when I'm at the gym, and I'll go into I'll be working out, and I'll see somebody what is that room? The cycle fit room. And they'll be in there by themselves working out. I do this every so often. I see somebody in there and I'll go in and tell them this. I said, "The most powerful things you'll ever do are the things when you're doing it all by yourself." Because in those times when you're pushing on that bicycle and nobody's there and there's no motivation except yourself, those are the decisions that propel someone to make the advancements in their training and in their exercise. But in Matthew chapter 6, and we see this same type of thing happen with Jacob, but God gives us some insight here on our prayer life in Matthew chapter 6, and to reinforce that the importance of this private meeting that Jacob had. In Matthew 6 and verse 6, it says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door..." Every time I read this, I ask myself, do I have a closet? Is there a place that I go where I just shut out everything except for myself and God? And I have a few different closets. But I realize what happens to me through the years, I don't often use them as closets. I have places where I go to escape and just to be alone with God. But he says, but when thou prayest, enter thy closet. It is important for you and I to have a designated time and a place. And notice what it says next. And when thou shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Life-changing things happen when we have that meeting place in the closet. Jacob, in his meeting with God, it was private. Number two, in a life-changing meeting with God, The meeting was painful. The meeting was painful. In verse 25, it says, well, he saw that he was wrestling with the angel of God. But in verse 25, it says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Jacob, in wrestling with God, the angel could not prevail against him. And so the angel touched him and made his thigh go out of joint. And I've dislocated my fingers more than once. And the last time I did it, I remember having to pop it back in place. It was very painful. I can only imagine my whole thigh being out of joint. I mean, I looked at my finger going a couple different directions, and I thought, oh my. But imagine your thigh, how painful that would be. But in that pain and in that process, a life-changing meeting happened. And God, they're different. In that wrestling period, generally it's only painful because we hold on to something. We're agonizing. We'd like to have something, or we want God to act in a certain way. But God allows us some discomfort so we can experience what it's like to be like Christ. Hold your place here. Notice the Bible says in Romans chapter 8. I'll be back to Genesis in just a moment. But in Romans chapter 8, notice what the Bible says here. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 13, the Word of God says, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not yet received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, notice this, that we may be also glorified together. So he says, we're joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. In those painful walks with God, in those times when we suffer with him, we're also glorified with him. And then Paul said in verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So the meetings with God, Jacob as he wrestled, his thigh was put out of joint. It was a painful meeting, but it helped him in the long run. Turn to the right to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Now, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Notice the Bible says in verse number 10. He says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. When those meetings happen, when the pain occurs, then those are necessary to propel us, to make us be more like Christ. In the gym, the strongest people are always those that suffer. In education, the people that have the best grades are those that suffer. They do the work. They do the requirement. In life in general, to advance, there's always some degree of suffering or some measure of grace or some just great free gift. But in God, back in our text here, Jacob, he had this meeting with the Lord. His life is changed, as we read from the story, but he suffered. Just in this confrontation alone with God, the meeting was a private meeting. It was a painful meeting. But for Jacob, number three, the meeting had one priority. The meeting had one priority. Notice verse 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. That's the angel saying to Jacob. And Jacob, and he replies, and he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And that's what really drew me to this passage. I was thinking about holding on to God and thinking about, I'm not letting go until you bless me. Until there's a... And Jacob understood how much he needed God and needed the blessing of God. His priority was, I'm alone in this meeting. I'm in pain in this meeting. But you know what? I'm not letting go unless I'm touched by God. I have one priority. Doesn't matter how alone I am, how long this lasts, doesn't matter how much pain I have. The story we read about the woman praying for 13 hours. Can you imagine how people probably thought she was absurd and crazy and thought she lost her mind? And can you imagine with each doctor how much you would have had to have heard from God to have 7 doctors say that your situation is hopeless? And her to end, but she had a connection, and she's in pain through her knees and all by herself, but she had one priority. God was going to do what he said he would do. And Jacob, he said, you know what, I'm not going to let you go. Basically, know what he's saying? You can do anything to me, and I stand there all by myself. No matter what you do to me, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. That's how much your blessing means. I was telling somebody the other day, who was I talking to? I was talking to Jared. What's his name? Gerald. Gerald. When he came by the house, I told him how when I was younger and played basketball, I couldn't leave the gym. I said I had to. Didn't matter how many games went by, as long as there was strength, I could twist an ankle, I could hurt myself, but I would not leave the gym until either it closed or until I won a game, until I felt like I played well. And because just tell them the magnitude of how I was addicted back then. And Jacob, this is how much, because for me at that time in my life, when basketball was my God, I needed that, I don't know what the word would be, but that fulfillment or that authentication to make me feel like I was something to have that victory. But Jacob, no, he has served the living God. And for him to be able to go on in life, it's like Moses when he said that, when God told him, he said, my presence will go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And Moses said, if you go not with us, don't carry us not up hence. He said, Lord, if you're not going with us, I don't want to go another step. And Jacob is saying, my priority is, doesn't matter the loneliness, doesn't matter the pain, I'm not going to let you go because I need you. I need your touch. I need you to help me. I need you to touch me. And I won't let you go. That's my only priority. Doesn't matter what you say, what you do, that's my priority. And that's why I had a life-changing meeting. Number 4, the meeting was powerful. The meeting was powerful. As you look at the verses in verse 27 in the text, we see, first of all, that Jacob, his identity was changed because the angel asked him, in verse 27, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, no, not anymore. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God. The meeting that's happened with you now, you now have power with me. You have power with God. You have a different identity. He said, you are no longer Jacob, but Israel. I've got a new name for you. You have a new identity. No longer call yourself Jacob. You know, there's things we call ourselves until we have that life-changing meeting with God. Sometimes we call ourselves failures. Sometimes we call ourselves incomplete. Sometimes we call ourselves anything except but victors and children of God. But when we have those life-changing meeting with God, God says, no, don't call yourself anything except what I named you. And he says, you are children of mine. So not only, number one, was his identity changed, but his determination was rewarded. The fact that he didn't let go, we already said the first one, he had power with God. He held on to God. And you know, you think about this. Now, I don't know if you remember the story. I can't remember who it was. I think it was when Hezekiah prayed, I don't remember when Hezekiah prayed, the angel of God sent down and killed 185,000 men. The angel of God did that. Now, here's, and I'm trying to wrap this in my brain. Here's Jacob wrestling with an angel, and the angel can't get away. And maybe it was just by design, and maybe the angel could have turned over and killed him in any moment. Who knows how it all played out. But for some reason, the angel responded, "Let me go." And maybe it was just a test, and he touched his thigh, but still, he didn't let go. I wonder if he had touched his arm, would he held on something else, or how it was being, but Jacob had some power with God. And somehow in this wrestling match, and the angel had been able to kill multitudes of thousands of people because of somehow God understanding, seeing his heart, and his willingness to wrestle alone, and his willingness to wrestle in pain, manifested some strength for him to hold on till God could bless him. So his determination was rewarded. He had power with God. We also see, it says, "And you have power with men. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men." And God gave Jacob power with men also. And last thing we see by the determination, and this is the one that we really need today in our lives, a power that prevailed. Because he said, "Thou hast power with God and power with men, and hast prevailed." What's missing in the average, I hate to use average and Christian together, but in common Christianity, is power that prevails. Power that really brings a victory. Because it's around us. Answer, there, we've all seen and heard answers to prayer. We've all seen God work in the lives of individuals. But a power that prevails and gives it complete victory, we're not seeing that on a regular basis. And I think it's because we just need a few more life-changing meetings with God. So the life-changing meeting with God, it was a private meeting. It was a painful meeting. The meeting had one priority, but in that it was definitely powerful. I wrote down the definition of the word prevail. It means to prove more powerful than opposing forces. I want my life to prove that God is more powerful than all the forces of hell and all of Satan's angels. All those forces of darkness, that's what I want my life to prove. I want my relationship with God to prove that God is more powerful than everything Satan has. That's what I want my life to be. It also means to be victorious. And it means to persuade to do something. Jacob had that because of his powerful, life-changing meeting with God. And the last thing of all, this is the one I like the best. The meeting permanently weakened the power of his flesh. Because when the meeting was over, he tried to walk away and he halted him on his thigh. And that may seem like a negative thing, but I want you to think about this. That which he'd always trusted in all his life, that which he leaned upon all his life, even if he wanted to, he could no longer trust in that power of his flesh. And there are things that hinder, I mean personally in my life, that it's just because I have too much confidence in my flesh. But when I really get along with God and I really have those type of meetings, it's just like it's the Holy Spirit almost, it insulates me from trusting in my flesh in a certain way that it used to. And we need the reason I say we need many life-changing meetings because there's so many areas of the flesh that we can trust in. But when I thought about that, how God did such a work in this, every time Jacob tried to do something just as simple as walking, he remembered that meeting with God. And he remembered that blessing that came by wrestling with God. And there was not, Jacob could not travel any place at all without remembering that meeting. In fact, I think in Hebrews, and it talks about Jacob, it talks about him leaning upon his staff. Because he had to have a staff to lean upon. Because he could no longer just walk the way he used to walk. And may God help us to be freed from walking in any way that causes us to strengthen the flesh, have strength in the flesh. I believe Paul had one of those meetings because if you remember, he made a statement like this. I can't remember how he said, but he said, "I have no confidence in the flesh." And Paul, you know, he's on the backside of the desert, had revelation, direct revelation from Jesus Christ. And so he had a life-changing meeting. Imagine, because if you don't have confidence in the flesh, what do you have confidence in? God. What else? Well, specifically? Holy Spirit. Yeah, they're all the same, of course, but you think about that. And think of how much better that would be to have a life as a child of the living God that has no confidence in his flesh. So the life-changing meeting for Jacob is very simple. The meeting was private. He was left alone. We have opportunity to find a closet. We ought to ask God tonight, Lord, I need a closet. Show me, lead me to a place that I can dedicate to just be alone and meet with you so I can commune with you. The meeting was painful. In that wrestling with God, in the closeness, he was close. When you're wrestling, you can't get any closer than that. I took wrestling when I was in college. You're close. And you get thrown around. I never forget, I was wrestling one time, and this guy, he'd wrestled all in high school. And I mean, I'm bulky, I'm strong, and I probably weigh 15 more pounds than this guy. And I get in with all my mind, and it's like, I'm flipped, and he knocks the air out of me. I'm like, that didn't do much for your ego, but that meeting was painful. but we were close in that meeting, holding on for a period of time. But you know what? The meeting you have to have one priority. You know, and that's when we'll prevail. Because when you're alone, it doesn't matter. And when the pain doesn't matter. And when you and I really see, you know, just like I think about, I was talking about when basketball was my God. I endured a lot of pain for some of those victories. There's times I would sprain my ankle at the beginning of the day, and it's like, but I wasn't leaving because I felt like I had to have the victory. And the things I would endure, and for vanity, but how much greater it is when for God's name's sake that I'm willing to go through the pain to, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That's when the power comes. And his identity was changed because the name, thank you Lord, that was good, the name that was attached to him by flesh, he no longer had. His parents, which I mean they were godly parents, but that name was given to him by fleshly people. He had a fleshly identity. God said, no, you no longer have that fleshly identity. And just like Paul said, I have no confidence in the flesh. He was changed. His identity was changed. He was recognized by God as something different. Just like when you get born again, you were recognized by God as one of his children. Power with God, power with men, but not just power. Everybody has a measure of power with God and men. You know, we all do. You know that? But what about power to prevail? What about a power to prove that God is more powerful than the opposing force of Satan? To be victorious, and last of all, again, the meeting permanently weakened his flesh. He no longer, even if he wanted to, he no longer had the ability to trust in the strength of his flesh. Until the end of his life, he leaned upon his staff. And I think of every time he probably thought, I bet there are certain times he's just getting out of bed, he hit that thigh and just feel the pain, and he thought, oh yeah, but that's when he touched me. Oh, that's when he touched me. There are different things I think about in my life that brought me to my knees as far as salvation. That's when God touched me the first time. And I think of other things. I remember working for Sentai's uniforms and trying to meet God and fasting for 7 days. And I remember those days slinging those uniforms and carrying them and thinking about trying to meet God and just different things that God did in my life. And I need a life. This could be a life-changing meeting tonight. We're here in the privacy. You may be enduring some pain, sometimes just in sitting there. You may be in pain, different things. But if you'll let God have one priority, how much do you need God? Do you need God so much that you're not going to let him go? God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. If you'll have your closet time like that, see what happens with me sometimes. Maybe it's happened to you. I want to pray, and I'll start praying, and maybe a little bit of time will go by, but I start thinking I need to do something. I should be somewhere. I need to do this. Or if I forget to turn my cell phone off, somebody calls or texts. But if I set apart a time Even in Bible reading, Lord, I'm not going to stop reading until I hear from you. I'm not going to let you go until you touch me. Lord, when I pray, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. As I serve you, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And in those moments, that's when the power falls and prevails. And that's when your strength changes into a way that you never thought it could be changed. And then the most simple things of life, like Jacob just for walking, are never, ever the same. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. You know, if we have a life-changing meeting with God, we'll be amazed at simple things that we begin to pray and thank God for. And I'm amazed at different things that I pray and ask God to help me with that I never thought of before. Sometimes I'll be someplace, a little thing happened, I'm driving. I say, Lord, you just protect me from an accident. Thank you, Lord. Give me wisdom in the next one. Walking in to a store, Father, open the door for me to speak to this person about Christ. Father, thank you for this tuning that you gave me that I could buy a tea or a cup of coffee. And just different things. And tuning's not a big deal to a lot of people. And the thing, Lord, thank you. Lord, help me. Well, I got $5 in my pocket. Help me to spend it wisely for your name's sake. Different things have changed just because of a few life-changing meetings. But I need my identity to change completely. And I want my walk, I want my flesh to no longer be able to do what it's been able to do ever since my birth. I thank God for the doors open through the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that, Father, in Jesus' name tonight, I pray that every hearer tonight will enter thy presence and they'll be able to have a life-changing meeting with you.